Thank you, Joe, for that. You would think in this modern age I'd have like some sort of handheld device. It's like walk through looking all cool, have my PowerPoint all set up behind me. But no, I'm kicking it old school with my hand scrabble notes, looking much like a ransom note here, that I'll be referencing from time to time here. And of course, I'm sure some of you are surprised here because I'm back. You thought that you would just have to put up with me during like the Lord's Supper, where I would just come up here and speak for a few minutes. But since I've got at least an hour and a half to bore you guys to tears, you'll be clutching each other's children, trying to pinch them to take them up. It's my hope that I can have those children all like filling up the nursery more so whatever happened before there. But we'll see how that goes there. Because one of the elders might come up here and say like, Kelly, you need to just sit down. But we'll see if that works out that way. Now, the reason why I am here is that I've been invited to be like a guest speaker, which it would have been nice if maybe on the front sign they would have put out like, guest speaker, coming soon. So for some of you that may be like visitors here, those of you who were looking for like, a Church of Christ that didn't have like United written in the front of it, or for those of you that were like visitors for friends and family and things like that, but they didn't trust you enough to let you stay at home and run up their pay-per-view movies and you were forced to come here, usually I have like a white visitor's card, which I was going to show here, but I do have this paper clip. And the reason why that becomes important, that if you leave us a record of you visiting here and you maybe like what you hear or you just feel sorry for me, maybe a little $5 bill, $10 bill stuck in that visitor's card in this paper clip that says guest speaker written on it, you'll be just fine. But that's just a joke there. I don't expect any money up here unless you want to do it afterwards. But no, that's just another joke here. So they said, my name's Kelly Kaiser, I'm the guest speaker here this morning, and the reason why I'm here mostly is because the elder, who remained nameless, because that's a joke that he and I have going on here, he decided that perhaps I should tell a little story about something that happened to my wife roughly about a year and a half ago, my wife Linda here. But before I get into that, tale of a situation here, I'd like to relate to the fact that I remember the first time I did like a speech of any real remembrance back in high school. So let me set the stage here. Imagine high school Kelly, not shaving yet, wearing a fro, a lot more handsome. Back in those days, women still told me I looked good. Now they just give me dark glasses and say, sir, you should be blind for the way you're looking. But there I was, asked to give a speech, and it was like an impromptu speech, and it was about physical fitness. And see, I was in like, Marine Corps ROTC, at Tech High School. So I was like, a junior Marine. So I was kind of like our official preacher, Jeremy, but maybe just more in a junior high school standpoint. So it was supposed to be like, on the situation of physical fitness. And, back then I didn't have as much maybe to draw on as far as life experiences. So when I stood up there, I was just like, had my little handful of notes, and like any of you guys that have hunted, you know what it's like when you run out of ammunition really quick and you're still aiming at the target? That's the way I was when I was doing my little sermon up there. So the end result was, as I was running out of words here, I thought, when it comes to physical fitness, it can protect you from all kinds of, illnesses and disease. But by that time, I was about out of words, and I said, except for VD. So high school setting, the whole class erupted. Now, it would have been fine if I would have been doing that on purpose, if I would have drawn from that, but that's the only thing that came to mind here. But it worked out nicely in some ways because they laughed for a few minutes, so that ate up my time. But at the same time, I'm feeling like, the squeaky voice teen on The Simpsons thinking like, I really want to sit down now. I don't have anything more else to say and stop laughing. So when I did stop, it was funny because our drill instructor slash teacher, he walked up to the podium and he was just like trying to contain himself. It was like, Mr. Kaiser, VD, okay. And all that was a scream there. And I think, what really strikes me as being funny about that is, seeing it from this standpoint. Now that you're older, think like, how much more fun it would have been to just watch myself do all that, knowing all the things that are going on with that. So hopefully this time that I spend today here will be just a little bit better prepared than that. So hopefully my scrabbled ransom notes will get the job done here. Now, in regards to the story that I have to tell, what happened with my wife, Linda, is she got in a car accident roughly about a year and a half ago or so. And, it wasn't maybe the most horrible thing that ever happened, but for any of us that have gone through things that are new and different and traumatic in that standpoint, You know, it did cause her a bit of an emotional struggle with those circumstances. Now, it's not maybe a story, say, worthy of like being on a Christian talk show or writing a book about, but hopefully if I can put this forth here in the way that's necessary, I'll be able to make that kind of connection of all of us who have gone through some aspect of suffering, some aspect of the unexpected here. Now, just in a nutshell, the story itself goes like this. My wife just, you know, pulls from like a residential neighborhood onto a busy street. You know, she didn't see this motorcyclist. Guy runs into her. He gets some pretty bad injuries. A few months later, insurance pays everything off. You know, she takes a hit because her car was only 2 years old, so she lost a little money on that and got another car. Pretty much kind of like end of story. So it's not necessarily all that involved from that standpoint. But as I kind of break down, like, you know, the more the day-to-day aspects of how things change so radically, I think you'll see how this works out just a little bit different here. Now, as you can imagine, when you get up every day, you know, you're thinking about what you're going to do. You know, you're not having any, you know, premonitions. You're not having any dreams. You're just going on about your life, take care of the things you need to take care of. And I'm sure most of you women in this audience don't have this, you know, feeling where you get up and think like, this purse was fine yesterday, but it's not good enough for today. So you turn and you'll empty everything out of it so you can get like the other purse that matches your outfit. I'm sure the rest of you don't go through circumstances like that, but that's something my wife is notorious for there. But, you know, if you're going to walk around and go into these places that are retail establishments, if you want to get compliments, you got to have your outfit together, got to have that right purse, got to have your nails done. That way the salesperson think they can get more of a commission out of this or a better sales. But that's another sideline story. So she gets ready, she hops in her car, as she's done like thousands of times, backs out of the driveway, goes down the street, as she's done thousands of times before. Never a problem, never an issue. You know, pulls to like, you know, four lane, you know, east-west, 35-mile-an-hour street. Looks both ways, you know, stops at the stop sign. You know, nothing really outstanding here. And she has never once that she's ever told me had a close call, you know, or somebody honking at her or giving her a one-finger salute or something like that. Everything worked out like it was normally. But as she pulled around the corner, she heard like a thud and then a pop, airbag went off, and car just stopped. Now, you can imagine what it's like when you're just going everything normally, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, like, why am I not making any more speed here? What just happened with this situation? Why am I just all of a sudden standing still? So as, you know, what kind of the dust from the airbag starts to fade out, as she looks around, you know, she sees, like, the front of her hood with a little bit of damage on the front of it. And then she looks around and sees people kind of gathering around. And she looks down, and she sees this guy laying on the ground, bloody and shaking, with no helmet on. And she's looking at all that, and she sees, like, his motorcycle over there. And, you know, now the shock is somewhat starting to set in about what just transpired here. You know, your mind's trying to grab a hold of what exactly happened, because you looked both ways. You didn't see anybody. And now all of a sudden, you've got this situation going on here. So, you know, some really kind gentleman, you know, knocked on the window and said, ma'am, are you okay? Which is surprising when you consider, you know, what was happening with the guy that was laying on the ground. So she said, like, you know, I think I'm basically fine. So then, like, the first responders show up, and they start attending to the guy there, and the police officer asks her, like, you know, wait on the curb. So she's escorted to the curb by the same gentleman who holds her hand the whole time, and as she's, like, looking over the scene, as anybody can appreciate, you know, she starts to, like, you know, cry. You start to have that, you know, that shaking feeling of knowing that you were involved with someone's detriment in spite of all the things you thought that you were doing right. Now, during the course of this time, she's not maybe hearing too much because you're going through your own situation about, you know, what's going to happen with the guy, what's going to happen with you, you know, what do I need to do next and all those things. And, you know, the police talk to her and ask her, and she basically just tells you what I told you. Didn't see anything. She does overhear one person saying, like, well, yeah, I saw everything. He was just weaving in and out, but that's about all that she heard along those lines. So, you know, they check her out here. The ambulance takes the other guy away. And she's basically fine because nothing that major happened to her. And they just drive her right back, you know, basically a half block down the street from where she was. So she calls me up and, you know, tells me what's going on here. And at first when she describes, she says, like, a motorcyclist hit me. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, well, he hit you. I'm thinking, like, are you okay? Because, you know, as I brought this story up with other people, you know, they so often say, like, you know, some of these motorcyclists, not by any means all, but some of them drive like they want to get hit. So it didn't seem like that was all that surprising, and people have told me stories where they've been ran into in that fashion that wasn't their fault. But as she described it, I just thought like, oh, so you pulled out and he ran into you. I'm thinking like, oh boy. So it's like the first thing that I was doing was like, you know, praying for the guy here. Because, you know, there he was, you know, kind of minding his own business, you know, doing his own thing here, you know, enjoying life and stuff like that. And next thing you know, he's in the hospital and you're wondering what's going to happen to him. You know, and that's the whole thing that we were kind of going through is like, you know, what is going to happen with the guy? Because it's not like they share information like that. It's not like anybody calls you up and says like, well, he's at this stage, he's at this stage. The only thing we knew, he had critical injuries in his condition, and that he was in a coma for a little while, to say the least here. So as we were looking at that, we were thinking like, now what's going to happen to us? Because we're thinking like, not that we're so much, you know, fearful about our lives, but you're thinking like, when you have a situation like that, it's only natural for somebody to sue. Because you're thinking about, you know, if you're in the hospital and you're in a coma, and we know how quickly a hospital will eat up some money, and the guy didn't have any insurance, we just figure like, they're going to go for that insurance so quick it's not going to be funny, and then they're going to be coming after us. So it's like now you're stuck off in that, you know, unfortunate circumstance of trying to think, what are you going to do and what can you do? And really when you find out with a lot of situations that we face in life, those scenarios are really pretty limited. You know, we always think about these great options and choices that we have, that we can do this, that we can do that. But a lot of times things come down that, you know, all you can do is just work through what's been given you. You know, you can plan, you can get educated, and that's great, and people are wonderfully successful because that's the gift that God has given us to achieve that way. But there's plenty of other times where things just put themselves in their way and you just have to deal with it. So with that in mind, we kind of get to the musical section of this that I know you're all waiting for, which I'm just going to recite a few lines from a popular Tom Petty song, where it's called, "The waiting is the hardest part. Every day you see one more card. You take it by faith, and you take it to the heart. But the waiting is the hardest part." And that's basically where we were stuck. You know, as far as what little information that we got, which was like we got a police report that looked not too much different from my ransom note here, and it really didn't say anything about any of the details of what happened. Matter of fact, the way the picture looked, it's almost like the guy was like in the lane closest to the curb, and by the time my wife had pulled around the corner, I don't know if he slammed on his brakes and hit her in the other lane like that. It's like he was aiming for it. I don't know if he was just like panicked or nervous, but it's not like we got any more information than that. We also got a letter from the family's lawyer, which only makes sense because they want to make sure they get the max amount of money they can out of that situation. Our own insurance agent was completely absent. It was like we had leprosy or something like that. But yet, our American Family corporate agent, you know, did a wonderful job there. But I'm thinking like, we've known you for like 20 years. You could at least send a card and said, I'm sorry, but don't know how that was working that way. So as far as like that goes, except for knowing he was in a coma, there was just like pretty much 6 months of just like nothing. Couldn't get the car back because they claimed they were investigating it. And I'm thinking like, well, you guys have painted up the street with all kinds of lines. You can't figure out what happened. What more is this car going to tell you? And the car supposedly had a black box. But I'm thinking like, well, was the black box had like cameras all around the car there? You know, what were they looking for? So instead of her getting her car fixed, you know, it had to sit there in the impound lot. And whenever, like, anybody called about it, you know, police started copping an attitude, like, we're tired of people calling. Well, it's been 4 months. This is an accident. What are you waiting for? And nobody tells you anything. Okay, now, from this standpoint, I'm going to make a little switch here, you know, and talk about some of the things that over, say, the last 20 years that I've either heard of or witnessed, you know, our wonderful Grandview Church of Christ here. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of you that have been here close to 40 years, and you've seen a lot more things. But, you know, aside from the wonderful, great things that we've seen here, you know, people having weddings, you know, people having, like, job promotions, you know, people graduating from high school, you know, and all the celebrations that we're involved with here, there's also been things where people have gone through some really hard times, some sadness. Now, maybe the simplest and easiest ones, even though it probably felt traumatic at the time, was, you know, some of the unmarried and unplanned pregnancies. But, you know, life happens, and the things eventually worked out. And there's other circumstances where we watch people, you know, go through divorces that were difficult. And then it starts going downhill from there. You know, people who have lost spouses to illnesses, people who have lost parents to illnesses, people who have lost children to illnesses or birth defects. You know, all these horrible things that happen, and you're just thinking like, you know, how do you get through this stuff? Does this even seem like it's fair? Does it even seem like it's right? You know, it's a different story if you're running around, you're just having a good time in life and don't care about nothing, being careless. But when you feel like, you know, you've chosen the fact that God loves you and you're responding to that, and you read this wonderful Bible that we have that gives us all this information about how God has stepped in and done these things, and we hear stories about other people in which God has done great things like that, but you're looking at your own life and thinking like, well, I wish I could get maybe a little more of that in the circumstances that I'm involved with. You know, as you're watching your loved one just, you know, fade away from an illness that no one could find out until it was too late, you know, when you watch somebody, you know, go through the difficulty of losing a parent through a car accident or both parents, and now the children are stuck off in this situation of trying to figure out what are you going to do with them, and all of a sudden life gets thrown into turmoil, and you think just little subtle things that God could have done to make that just a little bit less. But it seems like he's almost like standing back and being like, no, you just got to go through that. So, you know, it does come kind of understanding how people can kind of turn their back on God and have these challenges. And dare I say, that's maybe the aspect in which faith really grows. Because God doesn't just expect us just to not have any questions. God doesn't expect us not to have any emotions or concerns about anything. You know, he does things in a particular way that allows him to see, and us to see especially, what kind of people we are and how we respond to things. You know, that was very noteworthy when we looked at Job. Because, you know, Job went through a whole lot that's been recited quite a few times. But he was still questioning. It's like, why is this stuff happening? And throughout the scriptures, we see people writing about, why does it seem like the evil seem to prosper? Why is it folks say like, you know, Charles Manson or Hugh Hefner allowed to live like, you know, fabulous and happy lives of sorts, of some sort of infamy, but you're looking at people that really love God and care about him and you see them suffering? So, you know, that's just, you know, one side that's, you know, worth taking in consideration. But yet, as we've all gone through our hardships, you know, our difficulties, there comes that sense where we think about the scripture, which I'm going to read now, that comes out of the book of Romans. And something we've heard before there, but it's not like the quick answer you want, but it's just the answer that you desperately need, where he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall abide to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we start thinking about that great love of God. Anybody that's gone through any difficult situations that loves God knows that they feel loved through it. Are they full of despair? Sure. Are they heartbroken? Are they challenged? Yes, indeed. But it's much like when you have a child that's been injured and the child just has to, you know, go through the pain and suffering of that, but you have the opportunity to actually hold it. Sure, the child, you know, feels bad, but yet it knows it's being held by someone who loves them, someone who cares about them. So in all things that I mentioned with what has happened here in Grandview, as well as with my wife, as bad as she felt about all this, she knew that she was loved. She knew she was loved by people that came forth that she wouldn't expect to do so. She knew she was loved by people that she expected. She was kind of wondering about some people she expected more out of that didn't quite show up there, but that's where those circumstances work. I'm sure you've all thrown parties, had marriages and stuff like that, and the people you thought that really would show up might not quite make it that day, but somebody else who you just kind of think about casually, there they are. So with the love that, you know, abounds in those circumstances, yeah, you're struggling, but by the same token, you know that there's actually something that's going to take care of you. And since we're all, you know, basically believers in God, we understand that he made this place. You know, he set up all these things that we can enjoy. So if we're looking for our ultimate happiness, we realize it doesn't lie in this world, but yet we have to occupy this world. You know, that's exactly how it runs here. So there's things that are going to happen, difficulties you're going to go through here. But if you know that God loves you, he's going to see you through it. Now, are you going to be the same? No, there's going to be situations where you wish you were back before it all happened. You know, that's pretty consistent there. But yet, the things that you learn through it, because now you grow in the group of people and know what it's like to suffer. And through suffering a lot of times, you're going to get education, you're going to get humility. You're going to know how to work with other people that have gone through those same type of difficulties. So as challenging as all that thing can be, that's where the growth comes up. We all wish that our parents would still be alive. We all wish that, you know, spouses, we still had them, children, things like that didn't work out as badly as it did. But yet knowing that God loves us and worked with us through that, and we can have more compassion on other people that go through those things, that makes all the difference in the world. And just as a slight aside here, you know, there's a lot of people that can have problems with Christians because how easy it is for us to be judgmental because we got all the answers. And there are a wealth of answers in this Bible. But if you don't have compassion on people, if you don't come down to where they are and realize that the only difference between them and you is just where your position and where their position, and that circumstance can change up really quickly, that we're all sinners essentially by the grace of God. So it's that love that pulls you through all these circumstances, that you cannot be separated from God. Even when you try to turn your back on God, God's still going to reach down there and put the grab on you. You know, I've heard stories about people that you never thought would actually come to God, where it just seems like everything that was going against them was just like trying to push them away, but yet God reached in and said, like, oh, no, you don't. You're going to stay with me. You know, and that's where our power and our thriving, you know, come into. So now, after I've explained a few of those things here, we'll get back to what happened with Linda here. So it was roughly about maybe, I think, October, September, that they finalized everything. We still didn't get the car back. American Family had to end up, you know, totaling out the car. The police did not file charges. There was no, like, you know, failed to yield or even a fine, anything along those lines there. And they accepted the insurance, and that pretty much took care of everything. But, you know, it's not like you feel you're relieved, but you just wish it never would have happened in the first place. You know, it's like, you know, that's kind of the answer that I thought was going to happen, but you're still thinking, like, I wish this situation never would have happened. You know, that dread of affecting someone else's life in a negative way that hopefully you can avoid. Because we've all had experience where somebody pulled in front of or did something crazy and we were able to stop, and we were mad, but we were quite happy that we didn't run into them. So with that circumstance, it's hard to say what really happened, but I would maybe go as far just from a standpoint of conjecture that from the skid mark that I saw and the way the thing looked like, I don't know if he was going way faster than 35 mile an hour, because I imagine that if he was doing 35 and skidded for 20 feet and had a helmet on, then he probably wouldn't stand up, you know, beat my wife's car with his helmet, talking about, you jerked it, you see me, which I would have loved that a lot more than how it worked out. He did come out of his coma, but we don't know anything else in that regard there. So it worked out here, but I will say that in spite of that, I'm going to say in spite of that working out there, just like my notes here are not clear enough for me to read them as much as I should here. But the circumstance that did go with Linda, the improvement that you're all wondering about, that you've been waiting these whole 15, 20 minutes to hear about, is that though she read the Bible quite a bit, now she read with more of a sense of maybe understanding and purpose. Now she was relating to more people's stories about the circumstances that they go through. Now she was finding more, you know, consolation in the Word. Because you can read the Word and feel really good about it, but until you go through something, then it starts to take more root, takes more depth. You know, I think at times that's the biggest challenge when we have our high schoolers to go off to college. That you go into college and you get this different world, this alternate reality, you know, of fantasies and attacking of anything of the Christian circumstance. But yet when you really have a depth of feeling about the Bible and you go through circumstance, you stand true, then you see how it works out in that way. So now with Linda, you know, doing all this studying and things like that for months, and also I will add this, which I should mention, yeah, she would have been here today, but she's still a little bit sensitive about this issue. You know, she isn't necessarily ready, you know, to walk down that path again, because you can honestly feel how that would feel in that circumstance. But through all that, she was also a bit edgy when I would drive. You know, which she was like that before. I mean, I'm sure the rest of you husbands, whether you're playing like, you know, a race car driver or you're just, you know, maybe not driving fast enough, there's something about having that, you know, that sexy side seat driver, you know, that's right next to you talking about what you need to be doing on these circumstances. But she was a little bit edgy and that, you know, caused a little bit of friction. I had like, you know, kind of bite my tongue thinking like, okay, I know what you've been through, but I didn't think it was that big a deal. But, you know, she eventually kind of, you know, grew out of that, and now she tells me if I'm getting around a corner really fast, go, honey, you can go. You can make it even faster. So that's a bit of growth on those circumstances. And maybe as a note that, like what I was talking to with Christy earlier today. She's involved with like a women's study group here where she's, you know, striving kind of mentoring and help people. But, you know, because things are kind of changing, especially with the unfortunate situation with A. Eugenio, you know, and D, with them, you know, being up in the clinic waiting for that deal, that kind of minimizes the teacher, so now more of the work is falling on her. So she comes home on a regular basis, you know, kind of complaining about this. But I'm thinking, like, that's what God set you up for. You can't expect to read all these long-haired books and just keep it all to yourself here. You know, you're not going to be one of those people just walking up and down the street, you know, just reading the Bible like you're Jehovah's Witness, getting on people's nerves. You know, you got to interact actually with people. You got to make that connection. God's got to put you to use. And, of course, I didn't nearly complain as much when I was teaching those difficulty children, you know, in the children's Bible class, you know, on Wednesdays. That group was wild, man. Sometimes I thought I was going to have a wrestling match and stuff like that. People throwing books and carrying on, but I don't be tabbing on anybody. So she's, you know, definitely going through that. And I'm sure with all the things that you've experienced with your loved ones, circumstances you've seen that same kind of level of growth to make these things improve. And I said, you wish it never happened. You've got that scar. You've got that suffering, but it's now gotten better. Now, the elder who remained nameless, he did want me to talk about things I was thankful for, you know, since Thanksgiving's just come around the corner here. So with that in mind, I think it's obvious what I'm thankful for. One, that I still can wear these nice suits and be, you know, somewhat handsome here and, you know, get paid a reasonably decent job of sorts. But the more important aspect here, that why we're here in the first place here, is to show folks Jesus. And when you look at all the suffering that he went through, I mean, we talk about this quite a bit, but, you know, Jesus walked the earth. You know, he wasn't, you know, riding around on horses and things like that, being held up by his followers and all that good stuff. No, he had to be like the common man. It reminds me of the scripture where he says, you know, what, foxes have holes, fowls have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Think about what it would be like to have that much power, but knowing that every day you're pretty much, you know, living by whatever's provided for you, whatever work that you can be involved with. And this is the Son of God. This isn't just any man. This is part of God, flesh on earth. But yet he was willing to go through the situations that he was and suffer horribly for being righteous. You know, God didn't spare him any indignity when you look at what happened to him on that cross there. And since we, being servants, are not greater than the masters, it's only expected that we go through some of those things as well. And just like Jesus felt like he was left alone when everything got dark and said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're going to have those feelings as well. But yet he held on to the end, and then he said it was finished because he knew where he was going. You know, our final destination isn't just, you know, have a great time on this earth. Our final destination is making our way into heaven. So when it comes to things that I'm thankful for, above everything, is the fact that we have a Savior that loves us, a Savior that died for us, a Savior that fills us with the Holy Spirit, a Savior that shows us what God is like, all the waiting to provide us a mansion up in heaven. So with that in mind, that is the end of this, and we shall have the song. Now, of course, I guess there should be an invitation, so for any of you people that want to become a part of that, oh, please come forth, sir. So for all of you that, you know, feel inclined to want to share in the greatness of God's kingdom, for all of you that you just have things you may want to share, you can do it publicly or you can do it privately. We'll certainly come forth as we stand and sing. So let's go and have a seat over here. Right over here. Oh, certainly.